I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench as we go into hour number two. And yes, I am correct that Lance Lynn was ejected from that White Sox A's game tonight in Chicago because he threw his belt at the umpire when he was getting, I have to see it to believe it, right? Like I'm watching this. I want to see what he does. He comes off the field to get checked for substances. And I have to, like, you know, maybe they can show it. So I know that they're showing the bat boy picked up the belt. Lance Lynn is arguing with all the umpires, giving them the business, and they threw him out. I guess he threw his belt at the umpire or something. That's what caused the whole thing. So he threw it over the railing at the umpires. He's still screaming at the umpires as I'm watching him finally go down the stairs and be done for the night. But I never saw him actually throw the belt at the umps. I just saw him arguing with them and getting ejected. So Lance Lynn, the I guess favorite for the Cy Young, had a rough night tonight with the umps in Chicago. They went to check his glove, hat, belt for substances, and he didn't like it. And then he threw the belt at the ump over the railing onto the track, onto the dirt near the dugout. And the bat boy went out and got it, but it didn't matter. The ump saw him throw the belt, and the ump threw him out of the game, and he was ejected. So you know they'll be talking about that after the game tonight, and you know they're going to be talking about that tomorrow. And, you know, we'll be talking about that tomorrow on Coast to Coast. So Lance Lynn ejected tonight for getting involved with the umps against the A's. I will say that game is in the eighth still in Chicago. And the White Sox hanging on by a thread 3-2 over the A's. Now, we already know, as I told you, that the Yankees won. And now they move in the wild card to... You know, that makes no sense to me. Oh, so I see. A full game over Boston. And Boston is a half game behind Oakland. So the Yankees have the top spot by a half game over the A's and a full game over Boston after beating them and sweeping them tonight in the Bronx. The A's are not done yet, but if they lose, then they're already a half game behind them. They'll fall to a game behind them too. So I think that's what that boils down to. But it's all crazy because the games are still going on. It's all relative. Dodgers lead the Pirates 4-0 after three at Chavez Ravine. The Brewers have tied up the Cardinals. Cardinals were up 3-2. Now it's 3-3 in the ninth. We welcome all of our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, SportsMap, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench on a midweek, where do you hurt, Wednesday night. Mafia running it. The Mariners lead the Rangers 3-1, bottom nine, and the D-backs are up 2-1 on the Phillies in Zona. The Royals did it again. That's three straight over the Astros. I don't even know why I keep betting on the Astros against the Royals. They beat them every effing time they play. I mean, it is unbelievable to me that a 70-win team can't beat a 52-win team. Oh, anything's possible in Major League Baseball. No, it's not. Not when you're in dead last place. I don't care where they play the game. The Astros have to do better than this. They've lost three straight to the Royals. Tomorrow they're going to get swept. Unbelievable. What a piker effort by the Astros. Taking a vacation this week in Kansas City. The Astros just sleepwalking against the Royals. They lose to them again. 3-2. I think Dozier had the big hit for the Royals to give them the lead. The Rays, 8-4 over the Orioles. They've been kicking the Orioles' ass all week in Tampa. Braves win again, 11-9 over the Marlins. Freddie Freeman hits for the cycle. Your boy, Freddie. Ohtani the winner, 3-1 Angels over the Tigers. Nationals today in the daylight, 8-5 over the Jays. Mets in 12 over the Giants, 6-2. Rockies 7-5 over the Piking Padres. Twins in 11, 8-7 over the Indians. And the Cubs beat the Reds 7-1. It's Pharrell on a bench.
To listen to Sports Grid, you can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge right here, and you won't get Tomey. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so I'm watching Freddie Freeman hit for the cycle. I mean, unbelievable. Watching him chug around the bases with that triple, he hit a triple, his second career cycle for Freddie. He hit a triple to the wall in right field, and watching him chug around the bases was hilarious because he's as slow as a mule, but he made it on the triple. And then, like, his next at bat, he hit a home run. And, I mean, it is unbelievable, this Braves team. They just keep dealing. They won again 11-9 over the Marlins. A wild game with 20 runs. But it doesn't matter when, at the end of the day, the Braves still win the game. And their lead has increased in the East. I think their lead over the Phillies is 2.5. For the Mets, it's even worse. But it is amazing to me that they're showing every single run, every single highlight, every single hit in this game. But you get the two-run homer, it's still going to be 11-9 at the end of the day, and that'll be the final score. So you can think whatever you want. Keep showing highlights that aren't going to amount to anything. Ninth cycle in Braves history. Freeman 4-for-5, a home run, is 27th. Scored 4 runs and has his second career cycle. That is unbelievable. I mean, the guy is just a freak. And I can't keep track of all of it, but all I know is, you know, in the sixth, he hit the home run 405 feet to dead center. I mean, he is something else. Freddie Freeman. I did want to look at those standings because I think it is now Atlanta by three over Philadelphia because it checked in. Atlanta by three. The Mets are 4.5 back. And the Braves have won 6 in a row and 9 of 10. And frankly, their streak's even bigger than that. I mean, they have just been dealing. Like, look at their games. They beat the Marlins 11-9 tonight, 2-0 yesterday, 12-2 on Monday. Beat the Nationals on Sunday 6-5. Saturday, they beat them 12-2. Friday, they beat them 4-2. Then you go back to last Thursday, they lost to the Reds 12-3. The day before, beat the Reds 8-6 and 11. The day before, beat them 3-2. Back to Sunday the 8th, they beat the Nationals 5-4. Saturday, they lost them. That was the 7th, 3-2. Friday, they beat them 8-4. I mean, this team is absolutely winning almost every game. Almost every game they play. Like, it is just crazy what they have done in August. Look at this. Loss, win, 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 loss, win, 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 loss, win, 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 win. I mean, they are just kicking ass and taking names. So they're showing now, all of a sudden, I'm watching highlights of Osaka beating Coco Gauff today in tennis. And, you know, that's it. She won. So don't say anything else because I don't want to rattle her. I don't want to get her rattled because she doesn't do interviews anymore. She can't do interviews. But thank God she's giving all the money to the earthquake victims in Haiti. Thank God for that, at least. Here she is doing an interview. I almost fell over when I saw her doing an interview. I don't even want to watch her do the interview because I'm not going through this, you know, starting and stopping with her doing interviews. She, you know, one day she can do them, the next day she can't, and the next week she can't, the next month she can't, and I can't deal with all of it. She's making me sick. She's making me crazy. I can't take it anymore. I don't care about her problems. I really don't. So whatever. I feel horrible for her that the media is so overwhelming for her. But I don't feel sorry for her that she's making $50 million a year playing tennis. So she's the number one player in the world. You got to deal with it. One way or the other, they got to get her to deal with it. I don't think it's right that everybody else has to do it, but she doesn't have to do it because she doesn't feel good. Fair enough? First of all, nobody cares to begin with about tennis. I mean, let's face facts. It is what it is. You can say whatever you want. I mean, you have got to scrape people together to get them excited about even those slams. No one watches that Australian. Nobody in America cares about that French Open. They don't. I love it. It's my favorite, the French on Roland Garros on the red clay. I love it. I love watching Nadal there. And then Wimbledon, everybody loves Wimbledon, but I don't care about it. I don't know anybody that cares about it. And then the U.S. Open in New York, is that even, honestly, is that even a tennis tournament anymore? Or is that a fashion show? Because that's what it is. It's a celebrity being seen Met Gala fashion show. That's what that is. Because I'll tell you what, you can convince yourself all you want that people care about it. But the minute NFL football and college football start, no one gives a rat's ass about that tennis tournament. Now, I have gone to it before, I won't deny, and I've had a blast going to the U.S. Open. I went there with friends and got hammered and partied my ass off. You can party there like nobody's business. They got it all going at the U.S. Open, man. Open bar. I mean, it is all evolving. Drinks, beer, you name it. people smoking, you name it. You go up in that, you go up in that Arthur Ashe, it's all happening. I'm telling you, believe me, I have been there and it is a party. And there, the late night crowd there is a scene to behold. But I still don't think anybody cares about it. I really don't. People care about football. That's it. People care about the NFL paying day, son. Trust me, when, because they always show it, right? It's at the end of September, into Labor Day, into early September. And then you know what happens? Football starts and it's just bye. No one cares. No one's watching. It's a 2-week run. And then the first, you know, whatever you want to call it, first 7-8 days, does anyone care? Like, do you watch that? The first, those crappy, you know, when the top seeds take on the worst players in the world and slaughter them. And then they have an upset every year in every tournament in the, you know, at least one or two seeds are going to drop and lose. And then they act like it's an international incident. Like anybody cares. Oh, there was a huge upset today. Let's talk about it for a half an hour. No, let's not talk about it for a half an hour. Nobody cares. I'll tell you what I like talking about tennis is how many people cheat in tennis and the match fixing that goes on in tennis. It's like the most corrupt sport on the face of the earth. Is it not? It is. There has been more scandals with match fixing in tennis than any other sport. I mean, it's documented. I mean, every time you turn around, I mean, they just said there was match fixing at Wimbledon. I mean, it's automatic. God almighty, it is just unbelievable. I don't care. Listen, I feel sorry for anyone that has issues that they got to deal with. Mental health, depression. I really do. But I can't take it anymore with her. I can't. So I don't care. I don't care. Don't do the interviews. Feel better about yourself. Just stop dealing with the media and then everybody will be happy. You'll be happy. You don't have to do it anymore. That's what you want anyway, right? There you go. And the U.S. Open's coming up and I don't care. I really don't. You know what? College football is coming up. I do care. Pro football is coming up. I do care. I'm worried about going to Steeler games. I got season tickets. You think I care about tennis? Hate me all you want. And I played tennis my whole life. So I love tennis when I cared about it. I don't care about it anymore. I'd rather watch wrestling. You think I'm kidding? It's Pharrell on the bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So, anyway, I want to go back to this thing at the very least of Hall of Famer. You know, it's crazy to me that Jack Morris had those issues on the air last night in that Tigers Angels game, and Ohtani came up to bat and he started doing some kind of, he was mocking his, you know, Japanese voice or whatever, you know, acting Japanese, and it was really, I mean, obvious and noticeable, and it was blatant. And then, of course, you get the typical apology, which was forced on him, obviously, by the Tigers. Somebody, you know, snapped and said, "What are you doing, bro? You got to go right on the air with this immediately and apologize." And he gave some veiled apology that he didn't mean to offend anyone in the Asian community, and that he was sorry, and that he respects Ohtani. Well, I just don't believe that, because I think it's easy to say you respect him. It's just so easy to just say that, because how can you not respect him? Like, watching what he does. Even tonight, 8 strikeouts, 8 innings, and his 40th home run to go with it, his best outing on the mound. He's 8-1 or whatever now, and then he strikes out 8, and then he hits his 40th. how can you not respect that, right? But my point is that he actually, you know, he said, I respect him so much and everything. Well, if he respects him so much, then why did he do it? Because if you respect somebody, you don't mock them and mimic them and, you know, start busting off some kind of wannabe fake Chinese, Japanese, whatever voice. And that's what he did in the middle of the Bally's broadcast. I mean, that's just all there is to it. There's no sugarcoating this. That's what he did. We played it today on Coast to Coast, and it was uncomfortable, right? It was like a knife in the gut. It was like getting shanked, Shawshanked. So I'm like, what is happening here? This guy just did that? And then sure enough, here comes the apology, an inning later, whatever, and he starts apologizing up and down. And it seemed to me like it was a scripted apology from the team. And he's like, it's been brought to my attention that I've offended the Asian community. I had no intention of doing, you know, the whole thing was so cheesy and pathetic. And then today, they suspended him indefinitely. So Morris is not working games. And it is amazing to me that, I'm just being honest, right? That a guy can, I mean, look at Tom Brenneman. I mean, he started doing homophobic things on the air. He said, you know, some stuff that was blatantly homophobic, and they, you know, suspended him indefinitely. And then, you know, it didn't take long. In short order, they fired him, and he was finished after, you know, decades in Cincinnati calling Reds games. And now he's doing like high school games on like the radio, which is a fall from grace unequaled by his peers. But that they fired him for basically dropping a bomb on gays on the air when he had a hot mic, and then they fired him, right? But that a guy can mock a Japanese pitcher, and I mean, that's what he did. He just completely mocked him and imitated, did the whole Japanese voice and started making fun of him, that he can get away with that? Like, don't tell me he's not, at this point, still getting away with it, because he's suspended indefinitely, where, you know, I don't want anybody to get fired. I'm not interested in all that. I'm really not. I think it's, you know, those are really brutal, tough decisions to make. But my point is, how can one guy say something homophobic and get fired, but a guy can make fun of a Japanese pitcher imitating a Japanese person with his, you know, BS voice, you know, mocking him, and then he gets just suspended indefinitely? I'm surprised, to be honest with you, that he hasn't already been fired. And I think the, you know, uncomfortableness of it is that he's a Hall of Famer. He's a legend. I mean, that's all there is to it. He's a hero and a rock star status. You know, I think Greenberg and Morris, those are the big names, Detroit names that are legends. And I mean, am I, you know, I think I'm on the right page here. So those two guys are iconic and, you know, huge figures in baseball history and in Detroit Tiger history for sure. And then he's calling games and he does this on the air. And it's like they're just, this is me from afar, right? This is me in New York trying to wonder what's happening here. And it seems to me like it's like, what, are you afraid to fire him because he's a Hall of Famer? But it's okay for him to mock a Japanese guy on the air and then pretend like he's apologetic where he's not. That was the worst apology I've ever heard last night. And then the other guy does it. They whacked his ass in short order. And his life's been ruined because of it. So much so that when other people say things, Marty Brenneman goes on record and starts saying, boy, I wish my son had that fair of a shake when he had a bad day on the mic. They fired him almost instantaneously. It did not take long for Brenneman to get fired. But this guy, it sounds to me like maybe I'm crazy, but they're all sitting around wondering how to do it, how to deal with it, how to handle the situation. I think the first step of it has been to suspend him indefinitely, but you know they're sitting around thinking, we got to fire this guy. How do we fire a Hall of Fame legend? We got to do it because he made fun of Japanese people. That's all there is to it. And he didn't just do Ohtani. He did, you know, Asian people, Japanese people, you name it. I mean, he pulled out the whole, you know, mocking voice and mimicking Japanese people. That's just all there is to it. And, you know, I saw the in the Olympics, you had the soccer team, the girls' soccer team. I forget which one it was, but they did the whole pulling their eyes slanted and wearing cones on their heads like they were, you know, that was racist. That was obvious. That was as bad as it gets as well. Meanwhile, they're in China, you know, at the Olympics doing that. I mean, it's disgraceful. I mean, it is. You know, it really is. So I'm surprised that, you know, to be honest with you, that he's made it through the day, through the night. I mean, because to me, just suspending him indefinitely, well, if you're going to do that, then I think that he has to go for, at the very least, the rest of the year. I mean, there's only, you know, 5 weeks left in the season. They're not going to the playoffs. So I think he should be done for the season at, you know, at best. And I think at worst, he should be fired for doing it. Because, and I got to tell you, it's not so much that, frankly, I think it's a combo meal of that he did it and that he didn't seem, you know, not that I'm a judge of sincerity in apologies, but it didn't seem to me like it was contrived. It was written. They told him to do it. It seemed as though the Tigers PR department handed him a piece of paper to read this. And he did it. He read it. It's been brought to my attention that I've offended some people tonight. I didn't mean to. But I guess I'm sorry if I offended the Asian community. That's just not cutting the mustard. And I think that his lack of contrition, his lack of, I didn't feel it was a, I don't think anybody, did anybody really buy that was like an apology? I mean, honestly, and I have nothing against Jack Morris. He's a badass. I thought the guy was a great pitcher. He was intense. He's one of the best I've ever seen, for sure. But that's neither here nor there in this situation. I don't know. I mean, I don't think you can go on the air and make fun of Japanese people any more than you can go on the air and make fun of gays. You just can't do it. I mean, that's just all there is to it. So are there people that actually still think they're trying to, I know they're still trying to get Tom Brenneman his job back, everybody in the community, all the fans and his dad and all the juice and powerful people that he knows, but he's calling games on high school games. So obviously he's not getting his job back, at least at this point. So, boy, he's lost everything. He suffered the hard way. Some people might think that Jack Morris should get the same treatment, is what I have to say. So I guess I'm surprised they haven't done him yet. Sounds to me like the indefinite suspension might be, my guess is, the rest of the season. It's Ferrell on a bench.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go to a horse stable, find one with shoes, pry one off, and hang it over your door. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't take a hoof to the head. No! This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
To Vic Taver tonight of the Athletic about the Raiders, but something must have come up because He fell off the face of the earth, and we can't track him down. So be it. I will say this. They were practicing with the Rams as in L.A. as they get ready to play them on Saturday at SoFi. And, of course, the Raiders, they're 1-0 in the preseason. Not that it matters. But I noticed that in their workout today, the Raiders look better than the Rams. And Hunter Renfrow was going off. The Raiders were going off. They were having fun. Carr was hitting Waller. Waller was showing speed, hands, getting involved, getting it done. Also that Josh Jacobs was lighting it up, that nobody was rocking it like Jacobs, and that Jordan Rodriguez was talking about, McVay's frustration at the sloppy Rams performance at the practice. And Stafford, multiple turnovers. And so that can't be good that the Rams are getting those glowing reviews from their dual practice with the Raiders, and that the Raiders were kicking ass and taking names. Max Crosby was saying, we have a lot of guys that are motivated. You can see it on the field. Everybody's bringing it. The passion's there. It's just got to translate to Sundays. The defense got to Stafford and messed with him. They won the day against the Rams, and that was it. And, we've already heard earlier this week on Coast to Coast that David Carr – am I tripping? I always freak out. When I think of this kid and his, brother, but all I know is he said, Derek, his brother was David. Derek said that he wants to play, 15 more years in the NFL. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't think that's happening either. What he needs to do is, produce and get to the playoffs and do something. All I hear about is how great he feels and how fantastic he's doing. And his body's never been better. He's smarter. He trains better. He eats better. And then now it's maybe the desert air is making him his body better. I've heard it all, but the reality is that he has to perform at a better clip in the regular season. He has to perform at a higher level, and he has to get him into the playoffs, and he has to do something other than become his brother. I mean, I'm confused. I'm not confused. I mean, David sucked and Derek is all talk. Now, I don't deny that he has talent. I'm not going to sit here and argue with that. The guy, he threw 27 touchdowns and 9 picks, over 4,000 yards last year. I think he can actually do better than that. And in his career, he's 64%. It's just not good enough. And I'd like to see him. Do we have Vic Taffer now from The Athletic? I think we've actually caught up with Vic. How you doing, Vic?
Hey, man. Sorry about that. That's my bad.
My man, it's all good. It's great to catch up real quick. We got a couple minutes. I'm talking about Derek and what he has to do to get to the next level. I've heard all about his, he feels better. He looks better. He's, his body's never been better. He's eating better. He's training better. Everything he says, I can play 15 more years, but I'm talking about, I need him to be better. I need him to get them to the playoffs. If I'm a Raider fan, if I'm the Raiders front office, if I'm Gruden, I need him to go to the next level. Otherwise, he's going to become his brother.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. The one thing is, like, in his defense, like, he never gets the ball like in short yardage. The defense never gives him the ball on his side of the field. So he definitely he's got a lot of some bad draft picks around him. So just like it's not totally his fault. I agree he has to go to another level, but I also think he deserves some benefit of the doubt because it's been a mess. I mean, the organization's been a mess for a while. And they've made some really bad free agent moves and bad draft picks the last 3 or 4 years and even before that. So this year, I think they're on the right track. The defense they've got together this year looks a little better. They got some pass rush. And I think the receivers will be fine. Darren Waller is just a creature from another planet. Just a guy's a total freak, and he'll have another huge year. So I think the pieces are there where Derek can get better. He was better last year. He can take another step this year. And I think you're right. Get him to the playoffs or else maybe time to move on.
So I have to tell you, I saw your practice comments about that they really, outclassed and outplayed and out-hustled and out everything, outworked, that the defense was giving Stafford problems in that joint practice in L.A., and they're getting ready to play him on Saturday at SoFi. Tell me about that practice with everything clicking defensively, even offensively with, everybody, Renfro, Waller, Jacobs. I mean, it sounded like everybody played great except for Stafford and the Rams.
Yeah, I think Gruden having the right frame of mind. They were definitely hungry. They got dressed at their hotel. They got on the bus. It's a 20-minute ride out to the Rams' place. And they get off the bus, and they're fired up. They want to prove a point. I think there's different energy levels to start off with them and the Rams. Rams are out of their own place, and the Raiders, who are the Raiders? So I think that right off the bat, you could tell it's different energy. I think definitely he wanted to prove a point, and John was yelling profanities in the sidelines, getting in the guys' faces, and he definitely wanted to win this thing over his guy McVay. So I think that's kind of that carried over, and defense had like 3 interceptions, and Josh Jacobs ran the ball well, Darren Waller. I mean, they looked really, really good. So again, I know it's just one day, so I don't want to get too carried away, but they definitely won today's practice. Hunter Renfro definitely caught some tough catches against Jalen Ramsey in the slot, and I know people were surprised by that, but Hunter Renfro's kind of a stud. He's not a guy, you look at him, you don't think he's a stud, but the guy's an accomplished athlete.
So what did, you had to have seen, like, McVay being frustrated with their performance today.
Yeah, he was pretty hot. And he was mad about, A, the way they looked, and B, there were a lot of, like, mere fights and skirmishes and scrums. So there wasn't any continuity to practice. Kind of like there's always a lot of sidelines would clear off, and they'd separate the guys. And that happened 4 or 5 times. So it wasn't like, I'm sure his script of plays didn't all get accomplished. So I think tomorrow I'm sure they'll probably dial it down a notch and be much more of a controlled kind of let's get these plays in and kind of different atmosphere than it was today.
Tell me about Max Crosby. You wrote about his frustration with all of the coaches yelling at the same time. He's like, everybody needs to chill out.
It's just funny because you think of, like, when you think of a guy, you know, the energy and the players, they all fired up. The coaches were going crazy from the get-go. I think it's just John, you know, how badly he wanted to beat this guy McVay, and just, like, they wanted to prove a point that a lot of these coaches have been around for a long time, guys like Bisaccia and Richard Smith and Milo, and just guys who've been around for a league for a long time, they want to prove they still got the juice. They want to prove that they can make this defense better after it being terrible for a long time.
So let me ask you, you're sitting there watching that practice. A guy, DeSean Jackson, is at it again with, you know, we saw him in Philly, and he's always injured, always has the leg tissue issues. Just constant problems with his legs at his age, even though he was a great player and he can still make big plays, but he's always hurt. What did he look like? It sounded to me like, they weren't able to hook up and that, you were talking about, Abram was able to, stop him a little bit. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. It was surprising, but I agree with you, DeSean. He absolutely amazing talent. That guy just has, still has top end speed and can make big plays. But you're right, he can't stay healthy. I think today, I'm sure he came in thinking he'd make some plays today against that secondary. But again, this is just one day, but they look better. They look like they're more competitive. Abrams lost some weight from last year. He's definitely a smaller, can move better, which they wanted him to do. So last year, he was a total liability in pass coverage. Today, he broke up a play. So that's definitely a progress for him.
So tell me about Ruggs. They're, seeing a lot of positives out of Ruggs.
Yeah, I think he got the message. They definitely, I think he wasn't happy with the way he was used last year. They weren't happy with the way he ran routes. He was kind of not physical enough. You know, it's different levels. Obviously, college to pros, and cornerbacks are much more physical and get you off your route, which he did, happened to him too easily last year. So he put on, I think it's 13 pounds of muscle in the offseason. He's still fast. He's still very raw, but you definitely can see at least this camp. He made a play today. He made a deep catch against two DBs today. So you see him making plays. Now, last year, it wasn't happening too often, but he's definitely been a regular playmaker in the preseason, which is a good sign for them. They definitely need him to open up the defense a little bit, the top off the defense.
And how about Jacobs? Is he starting to show all of his amazing talents and skills and coming up big yet?
Yeah, another guy who's kind of battled injuries the last couple of years. We got nicked up every now and then, but he's still had 2,000-yard years. And so I think he's a guy who everyone thinks that, Kenyon Drake's coming to come in and take half his carries, but that's not going to be the case. Josh Jacobs will still be the guy. If you're in fantasy, still take Josh Jacobs pretty high. He'll get most of the carries, and I think we'll have a big year.
So let me ask you lastly about the Raiders' plan for the vaccines at Allegiant. Everybody just has to wear the mask at the Raiders games. That's that. How do you think that's going to go over?
There's no mask. You have to be vaccinated. I mean, you have to wear. You can wear a mask if you're not vaccinated and you get the shot at the stadium and it takes, whatever, 2 or 3 weeks. You can wear a mask if you have that special provision. Otherwise, you have to be totally vaccinated and be a mask-free environment. Only kids will be wearing masks at the stadium. So I know some fans don't like it, but so it's definitely a different stance than most teams are taking.
All right, so I had it twisted. So they have to be vaccinated and proof of vaccination just to get into the stadium. Now, a lot of stadiums like Pittsburgh and others, et cetera, they're just making everybody wear masks. So the Raiders are taking it a step further. Do you like that move?
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, obviously, I don't want to get into the politics of, people have strong feelings, but I think it makes sense. I mean, if you want everyone to – if you want to have the best, controlled environment and ideally your odds are higher of not having any kind of contagion or like the thing spreading and an outbreak. So I think the best way to do that is to have everyone vaccinated. So I think I know some people don't like it. Some fans are mad, but I think it's a progressive stance, and I kind of like it. I think it takes the things to the next level.
All right, Vic, as long as we can get into that nightclub when I come to see you in Vegas.
That nightclub's trouble. A nightclub's trouble, man. You can't enjoy yourself because people throwing drinks on your head and people throwing glasses at each other. That's a recipe for trouble, man. I can't imagine that's going to be a good thing
once these
games get crazy.
I'll probably get arrested there. All right, Vic, I'll catch up with you soon. We'll talk more Raider football at another time. Thanks for coming on the bench.
All right, boss. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Vic Taver of The Athletic on the bench.
Scott, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so if he hears you crystal clear, I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Yankees lead in the wild card now, a game over the A's and Red Sox each. And when I get my prostate exam in the morning from Dr. Garden, he'll say, what do you think of the Yankees? Ugh. The Dodgers by 8.5 over the Padres in the National League, a wild card. The Padres lead over the Reds, still 1.5 because the Reds keep losing to the Cubs. Meanwhile, the Padres lost 7-5 to the Rockies, who dominate at home at Coors. All they do is win at Coors. The White Sox won the game over the A's 3-2. Lance Lynn thrown out for sticky substance. Basically not for that he was checked and threw his belt at the ump. Threw his belt over the railing, and that was it. It got everybody all hot and bothered, especially him. Royals winners over the Astros. Benintendi with a throw to the plate to seal the deal. Mariners beat the Rangers 3-1. Brewers ended up beating the Cardinals in 10-6-4. Rays 8-4 over the Orioles. Braves 11-9 over the Marlins. They've won six in a row. Freddie Freeman hits for the cycle. Ohtani, a winner. He's 8-1. He struck out 8, hit his 40th home run. They beat the Tigers 3-1. Nationals 8-5 over the Jays. Mets in 12, 6-2 over the Giants. Rocky 7-5 over the Padres. Indians lose to the Twins 8-7 and 11. Cubs 7-1 over the Reds. Yankees 5-2 over the Red Sox. Sweep the Red Sox. Diamondbacks lead the Phillies 3-1, bottom 7 in Zona. And the Dodgers lead the Pirates 7-0, bottom 6 at Chavez Ravine. Tomorrow we got Pats and Eagles, some day ball, tons of baseball. We'll see you live on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV at 4 o'clock Eastern. Good night, everybody.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.